धन्यवाद अभिषेक. थैंक यू अभिषेक. एंड डियर लिसनर्स, साई राम फ्रॉम प्रशांत निलयम, द मोस्ट हैपनिंग प्लेस ऑन दिस प्लैनेट. एंड आई से दिस बिकॉज this is the most happening place, because you look to any corner of this divine hamlet, touch any devotee, speak to any visitor, step into any of its institutions, or just sit in the Sai Kulwant hall, there is something constantly unfolding, something which is beautiful, inspiring, and many times moving, sometimes expressible and other times inexplicable. Some we see, some we are aware of, some we can notice if we pay careful attention, if we seek to inquire a little more, and some we can never ever know too. And today I am going to share with you a beautiful tale, a story that many probably have not noticed, and among those who are aware know little about it, but the world out there is completely blissfully ignorant about this tale. They have missed the delectable sweet fragrance of this beautiful story. And before I go into it, let me play for you a short instrumental piece created on the piano. Lovely composition. That was by Mr. Stephen Notley. No, Stephen is not a professional piano artist. In fact, he is a medical student in the University of Cambridge in UK, but he loves the piano. But why are we talking about Stephen in this program? Is it because he is a good piano player or a promising artist who is also a young doctor? Well, that does not make him really exceptional. What is unique is that he played this in Prashant Nilayam. Still, that is not the reason why I am mentioning about Stephen tonight. What is truly extraordinary about Stephen Notley is this. In June 2012, this final year medical student, one of the brightest from the University of Cambridge, was in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, Bangalore, to do his medical elective in Baba's Hospitals, the super speciality hospital in Bangalore, the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital in Bangalore, and the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital in Puttaparthi. All the final year medical students in the University of Cambridge have to do what is called a medical elective, wherein they have to choose any institution or healthcare system anywhere in the world to watch, observe, learn, research, and enhance their knowledge. To put it simply, to hone their medical skills. And Stephen Notley chose to do this in Baba's Hospital. It was the first of its kind formal collaboration between the School of Clinical Medicine, University of Cambridge, and the medical division of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. So what was Stephen's experience of being in Baba's Hospitals in Whitefield Did he go into the villages to see the work of the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital? By the way, what is this mobile hospital and what exactly does it do and where? Did the top medical graduate from UK pick up anything from these hospitals? Well, this is what we will explore, in fact much more, in the next 45 minutes tonight. So it is going to be a session of insightful interactions, beautiful observations, moving anecdotes and revealing experiences. We will be pleasantly surprised about how much we do not know. And at the same time, feel so glad that there is so much goodness blossoming all around and all we have to do is join this bandwagon of joy and service. And before I move on, let us pause for a moment and first offer our humble and loving salutations at the feet of our Divine Master, the infinite reservoir of compassion, beloved Bhagwan Baba. O Lord, please bless us so that we too strive to translate every little knowledge and skill that we have been blessed with for the good of all the time. With this prayer, let's move on. The time in the studios now is 8:45 and you are listening to the live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai on Asia Stream. And I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu, happily at your service. So welcome to this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, our series on Thursday nights. And today, the bridge between Cambridge and Sai Medicare, lessons and impressions of Stephen Notley. So to take the story further, Stephen came to India in June 2012 for 5 weeks as per a formal arrangement between the University of Cambridge and the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust to learn and get trained in the Sai hospitals. Born and brought up in the UK, this was the first time he was coming to India and his first 2 weeks of internship was in the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, that is Baba's super speciality hospital in Bangalore. Given that he is such a talented young doctor from one of the premier medical institutions of this world, Radio Sai team later interacted with Stephen about what his impressions were about Baba's medical institute in Bangalore.
My first impression of arriving at the Whitefield Super Specialty Hospital was that it looked more like the Taj Mahal than an actual hospital that I was used to seeing. Going into the front and seeing a big temple, I wasn't aware before I actually arrived in India that these were religious-based organisations. So it was a foreign concept to me. I'd never heard of Sai Baba before arriving in Whitefield and seeing the very ornate temple to him in the front of the hospital. It was very grand, and all of the Whitefield hospital with its nice marble-like floors. It's a very grand building, and totally not what I was expecting for a hospital. So yes, I was first struck by the architecture and the grandeur of the place.
And as you went into the hospital and saw the patients, started interacting with the doctors, probably you got to see the facilities and the infrastructure there and the care being given there. So what is your feelings about this hospital vis-a-vis any hospital, good tertiary care hospital in the UK?
So while there are lots of differences that I noticed between tertiary care in the UK and tertiary care here, I was very surprised actually to what level of care can actually be is actually done in the super specialty hospital. I was very impressed to see very high-tech cardiac catheterization lab and the intensive care component that they had for the cardiac coronary care unit. So it was a very positive impression to the level of sophistication that is there in Whitefield. And while I knew it was a super specialty, specializing in neurology and cardiology, I don't think I was open-minded enough back in the UK to believe that they could do quite sophisticated procedures. And the volume of procedures that they actually get through there is quite astonishing. The throughput is very fast, Dr. Dash especially is very well respected and renowned in India, and I can see why after observing some of his procedures. The speed and precision of which he carries out lots of the cardiac catheterizations is very admirable. Those are my main impressions of the level of tertiary care in the Whitefield Hospital.
So as he confessed, Stephen was not open-minded enough earlier to believe that such complicated and sophisticated surgeries and procedures were being done in a charity super speciality hospital in India, and he found the volume of the work done astonishing. The speed and precision of Dr. Dash, the head of the Department of Cardiology in Baba's hospital, as he said, is very admirable. While in Bangalore, Stephen also spent 1 week in the Sri Satyasai General Hospital in Whitefield, which has been operating for more than 4 decades, offering free primary and secondary care in several disciplines, from gynecology to orthopedics to ophthalmology, to people not only from local areas, but in fact from all parts of the state of Karnataka and India. And in the General Hospital, Dr. Ram Kumar, a very senior general physician, guided Stephen. While in the super speciality hospital, it was Dr. Srikant Sola.
So I spent 1 week in the general hospital under the supervision of Dr. Ram Kumar, a general physician. And that was really a good time of having sort of one-on-one good teaching, and managed seeing a lot of very interesting cases. Some of the most interesting cases that I've seen in India would have been from my 1 week at the general hospital, where there was a lot of enthusiasm from not just Dr. Ram Kumar, the general physician there, but also from all the other specialties. Any interesting case, they used to run into the room and say, "Stephen, you must see this." So very interesting time there. And the food canteen in the general hospital I found much better than the super specialty hospital. So I had Dr. Ram Kumar in the general hospital. My main supervisor in the super specialty hospital was Dr. Sola, who is an extremely competent consultant cardiologist who trained at some of the best institutes, Harvard and so on in America, before deciding to give up his eminent career in Cleveland Clinic in America and come to the Sri Satyasai Specialty Hospital. And he really is pushing forward the quality of care, and the whole department is really implementing good strategies for auditing the department to see whether they really are delivering a good service, whether what areas can be improved. And through his unique skills there, I can really see how he's really helping push the cardiology department from in the institute to becoming one of the best there is in the state, if not in India. So seeing how this institute can really attract such high caliber people such as Dr. Sola to it is really a testament to, I think, the strength of the organisation, and people can see from the outside the good work that's been being done, and that it's not just like any other NGO organisation that just tries to help but isn't really delivering, doesn't really understand the needs of the community. Understand that this organisation really understands that if it to try and help, it can't put a price tag on people, and that the people with the most serious ailments generally are the people that are in the lower classes and who cannot afford treatment. So to set up an institution where you can deliver healthcare free of cost from all aspects, from the diagnostic side through to the treatment side, is really unique, I think, in India. I think its reputation is very special, and I think that shouldn't be understated. Having a reputation, especially as the hospital doesn't, you know, isn't big on advertising, it doesn't push out its services, is very remarkable. And that people can come from all over India, and people, a gentleman I'd seen had travelled for 9 days to come to the hospital. He had severe heart failure. So 9 days of travelling for anybody is tough. 9 days travelling when you've got severe heart failure. The first 4 days were walking to a train station. Is, you know, stories like that are just unheard of back in Europe. You know, no one's more than a couple of hours away from a tertiary centre. So that was one of the most remarkable stories. A man who's takes 9 days travel here, this complete, almost by the very north tip of India, up in the Himalayas, spent 4 days walking out of the Himalayas, and then having to travel 5 further days in end-stage heart failure. It is a remarkable thing that this reputation of this institute has travelled all across the country, that people from the lowest economic status in the country will make such a devoted journey, really is a testament to this organisation.
As a doctor, as well as a person undergoing training from an academic perspective also, what was your learning from that experience in the Whitefield Hospital?
Cambridge University really prides itself on a strong academic background, and this was matched very well with the ethos that I found here, that really that there's a strong undercurrent of training throughout the super specialty hospital in particular, with it combining the hospital with the Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. It really shared the same ethos as Cambridge University in having it, that you cannot better your services without constantly constantly learning, constantly reviewing your knowledge, and constantly trying to push forward with the services that you deliver. So for me, it was I found it a comfortable environment that I was used to, that the doctors here were very academically minded, and because of that they were very keen, especially Dr. Sola himself, in teaching me and making me review material that we had gone through, giving specific readings to do, as well as key objectives of what to learn, because going into a department and seeing everything, it can be very daunting to try and take it all in at once. But having a very structured approach to, well, today we shall cover X, Y, and Z in topics, and was very useful. So I'll take away a lot of in-depth kind of cardiology knowledge, which I did not have before here, being taught by arguably one of the best consultant cardiologists there is in India, if not around in the world.
The Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences shares the same ethos as the Cambridge University, reflected Stephen, because in this institute too, apart from excellent facilities and care, there is, as he said, a strong undercurrent of training wherein doctors and physicians are constantly learning and reviewing their knowledge. And the other thing that moved Stephen was how the people with the most chronic ailments are often from the lowest strata of society, and how by not putting a price tag on a patient, the hospital, like a true charity healthcare system, is not only trying to help the poor, not only trying to help the poor, like many organizations do, but is indeed delivering the results to make a better society. And Stephen saw more of this. Best of care to the poorest of poor. And now in a different dimension, after his 3 weeks in Bangalore, his next training was in the Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital. For those unaware, the Sri Sathya Sai Mobile Hospital is a unique rural outreach healthcare program wherein a team of approximately 40 people, 15 of them being physicians who are specialists in different disciplines, along with other paramedical staff and volunteers, go into some of the remote villages in the vicinity of Puttaparthi on the first 12 days of every month. The villages they go into are identified and called as the nodal villages, to which patients from all the nearby areas gather. Each visit lasts almost the entire day, wherein 500 to 800 patients are examined. One of the major features of this project is the air-conditioned bus, which accompanies this medical team, which is amazingly equipped with an ultrasound scanner, an X-ray machine with an automatic film processor, an ECG machine, and equipment for blood analysis, as well as a microscope. Each of these instruments is beautifully fitted inside this AC bus. And this comprehensive diagnostic support at the doorstep of the patient makes the lives of all these doctors very, very easy. Plus, there is a strong preventive healthcare component as well as a public health dimension to this whole program, which has made this so successful that in 2010, when Mr. R. Chidambaram, the principal scientific advisor to the government of India, visited this program and then went to the Sai University to deliver a lecture, he said, "You have asked me to speak on innovation, but in Puttaparthi I saw a fine innovation of how a school was overnight converted into a hospital where surgeries were being performed. And after the day's work is over, it is back to being a simple rural school again. This is one of the finest innovations I have seen, and I hope this is replicated everywhere else in this country." So that is what the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital is about in brief. And Stephen spent his next 2 weeks in Puttaparthi visiting these rural areas. And we spoke to him after he had been with the mobile hospital team for 9 days.
So what do you think from your experience of what you have seen in the last 10-12 days, what are the real key elements of this whole exercise which is making it work according to you?
There is a big dedication from all the doctors involved, doctors giving up their time and money to come here and work and service and for free. Because of that, the quality of the doctors that they get involved here are second to none. They really get the best doctors that, you know, are available to come here, because I think a good component of this mobile hospital is that people are donating their time and really doing things out for the sake of being a good person and not for any financial merit. So there's no ulterior motives. So firstly, yeah, the high caliber of the doctors that they've got going here is much better than I think you could really expect in most hospitals throughout India, just because we've got senior professors and everything in there. Individual respective specialties. Another thing is also, apart from the doctors, all the ancillary staff who dedicate their time to making sure that all the general day-to-day logistics, such as setting all the tents up, setting all the rooms up, making sure that everything is faultless and seamless in its progression from the moment the patients arrive to the moment the doctors arrive, to getting all the patients through. And because this hospital manages to see between, on average, 600 to 800 patients a day, that's a lot of patients to get through, and it could very easily descend into chaos and madness in the day. But how all the ancillary staff and manage to keep everyone calm, keep everything ordered, and manage to get through people with an exemplar efficiency that you don't see even in most hospitals. So I think those are the real key impacts, is the people that make this work, and it's just as much the extra staff as well as the doctors in managing to see, make sure that everything can be run fairly smoothly here. And also the fact that there's a good pharmacy on site and everything is ordered, and a pharmacy that's able to dispense a whole range of medicines on site, so patients don't have to, with a prescription, go somewhere else. There's also the diagnostics bus on site, which can provide x-rays and also ultrasound scans, as well as a basic pathology lab that can do most basic routine blood tests. Having this combination of good, highly efficacious people, and having a good diagnostics department, a good and a good prescription pharmacy on site, really is enabling this to be a real good success.
Yeah, wonderful. I think there are certain things that you are really taking with you from this experience back to UK. I understand that you also love photography and you have taken a lot of pictures here. So what are the scenes that you wanted to capture of this experience?
Scenes of the masses, to try and convey the number of people that this hospital actually can get through in a day. Also try to capture some of the more personal elements, such as people waiting or people's smiles after they're coming out of getting treatment, or at least getting a diagnosis, because I think a lot of the time when people come to the doctors with they know something's wrong, and to be able to have a name for something almost empowers you. So sometimes getting a diagnosis or getting told that there's treatment, things, the smiles on some people's faces is is conveyed very easily. So taking photos of the personal elements as well as the group involved being some of the things that I wanted to take away.
As Stephen said, what is making the mobile hospital a moving healthcare success story is highly efficacious people, good diagnostic support, and a well-equipped pharmacy. And from among all these, the most important, anyone would agree, is the band of highly efficacious people, as Stephen put it. In fact, there are more than 400 volunteer doctors from all over the state of Andhra Pradesh who come to serve in this project, and they are called according to a roster maintained by Dr. Krishnamurthy Narasimhan, who is the program director and the most spirited spearhead of this saga of selfless service to the poorest and most innocent rural folk of Andhra Pradesh. This project started by Baba's blessings in April 2006, and since then it has grown and expanded in many dimensions, making each of its processes more and more efficient along the way. When the request from the University of Cambridge came to Dr. Narasimhan in 2011, it was indeed a pleasant surprise. We spoke to this doctor in June 2012 in one of the villages by name Veldurthi, about 28 kilometers from Puttaparthi, at the time when Stephen was getting trained under him.
Saram sir, I was talking to Stephen and he was very appreciative of the way the mobile hospital reaches out to so many impoverished people. That was the first experience for him. Apart from this, what also impressed him is the way the training program, the academic training program, is laid out for him. So what was your first reaction when you heard that someone from the Cambridge has chosen to come to the mobile hospital for his medical elective?
No, obviously it was a reaction of great joy and also feeling privileged, because as you all know, Cambridge is one institution in the world which is well known for its academic achievements, academic temper. And the Cambridge School of Medicine also, I know about it. So obviously we felt elated and privileged. And also equally happy I was that, you know, this project of Baba, which is primarily a service delivering sort of an organization catering to the medical requirements, the service component being the fundamental, you know, sort of drive in the program. If it could generate also an academic environment, an academic component enough to attract Cambridge, you know, it was a feeling of great honor, and I felt a feather in the cap for Bhagwan's medical mission itself, that a service delivering organization can have an academic component inbuilt in it and also take up such a project. That was one thing. And secondly, you know, I for one feel that Vidya and Vaidya should go together. Like when you do Medicare, there should also be a sort of a medical teaching incorporated in it, for the simple reason that if only, you know, now it has all come to the state of corporate hospitals and all. But in the past, all excellent doctors were also excellent teachers, and that is how the art of healing, I would call, not even art of medicine, the art of healing was transmitted down the line. But somewhere this has got a little diluted. I for one always used to feel that, you know, any place where Medicare is being delivered well, there should also be a component of teaching inbuilt in it. That is how students can really, you know, come to know of the art of healing. So for these twin reasons, that a service delivering organization has also got an academic environment sufficient to attract Cambridge University, and the reason that, you know, both are now going to go together, Medicare and also medical teaching, for these twin reasons I felt really elated.
And how did you go about planning the academic rigor that Stephen will go through in this 12-day program?
In fact, we have done a lot of homework. The planning has been going on for the last 6 months. And, you know, it meant a number of things which had to be brought together. First thing is, as you know, in any such good activity, the conceptualizing of the way it has to go about is itself a major exercise. So we did a lot of brainstorming, and the product of that intensive exercise, you know, was the conclusion that the program has to have three components inbuilt in it. A triangular approach, if I can use the word. On the one hand, we wanted this training to sharpen the skills of the students who come here, like Stephen Notley, who has come. That is fundamental to any training program. You know, clinical skills means the art of trying to dig out the history or the problems of the patient, eliciting what we call clinical signs, and then doing some tests, and then putting all these together and coming to a conclusion, what we call diagnosis. So all that constitutes sharpening of clinical skills, what we call. That is one component, major component of the program. The second is the mobile hospital is also having the component of on-site diagnostics, which we normally don't find in rural outreach programs. The way Bhagwan had visualized that doctors, when they reach out, they should not be handicapped by the absence of on-site diagnostics. Most of the times, rural outreach programs are a failure because they don't have on-site diagnostics. And as you know, we have things like ultrasound, 2D echocardiogram, X-ray, a very good lab, even things like normally heard of even in outreach services, like fine needle aspiration cytology procedures, sputum for AFP test, all these things. So we felt when students come that they should have some hands-on experience on even these diagnostics, because especially medical graduates at that level, they should be oriented to these diagnostics also. So that became the second component we felt of the training. And the third, again, last but not the least, we felt is, because ours is a rural outreach service, a service where we are penetrating literally into the community, we are best placed to know so many other aspects of health problems of people. This constitutes what we call the public health component of any healthcare delivery system, and here the public health component of the training program itself. We felt that students should be oriented towards this sort of an approach, wherein a doctor feels that his duty doesn't end with treating the proximate patient who has come to him, but rather putting this patient in the larger context of the community itself and see how the health of the community influences his own health and how his problem again matters for the health of the community. All this constitutes what the public health approach, and an offshoot of such an approach would be realization that many health problems, especially in a country like India, are preventable. They say 70% of our health problems in villages are preventable. So the focus on prevention becomes prominent. And again, the natural corollary of that would be health education. So we felt that students who come for training should be oriented to this sort of an approach, and they should also be trained literally in how to go about the work of preventive medicine or health education. In fact, for example, now Stephen, yesterday night itself, we had taken him to a village for the evening, what we call health education program at the community level, where you reach out literally to the village center point, and with your sort of persuasive skills or so many other ways, make all the villages sit together, address the whole community, the village community, on a wide variety of issues, show them documentaries, all that. You know, this sort of a practical exposure, experience and a training we could give to Stephen yesterday night, incidentally. So, as I told you, the program has three dimensions, and for the sharpening of the clinical skills, we had made a very, sort of a detailed planning as to who are the doctors whom we should line up for this training, the specialties. And I'm so glad to tell you that the people who have been till now training Stephen are all eminent men. Like right now we have one Dr. M.B.R. Sharma, who was the head of the Department of Medicine of so many medical colleges, government medical colleges, and in fact retired recently as the Director of Medical Education of this whole state of Andhra Pradesh. And then again we had Dr. Gauri, again an eminent dermatologist of our state. Any dermatologist in this state of Andhra Pradesh would know Dr. Gauri for a wide variety of reasons, for her clinical skills, and her word is taken as perhaps the absolute in complicated cases. So the doctors whom we have lined up are all excellent doctors, And another very conscious exercise we made was to see that, for example, in a subject like dermatology, what are all the clinical cases which Stephen should be exposed to. So over a period of 6 months, we identified such cases. We took their contact addresses, phone numbers, even if it didn't mean our, you know, sort of treating them after a particular period of time, being in touch with them, and then, you know, bringing them back, requesting them to come on the day on which the training was being imparted. So every day we had lined up about 15 to 20 such patients. And for example, we had one day an endocrinologist, a very eminent man again, Dr. Satish Babu from Bangalore, whom we requested to come for that day. He told me at the end of the day, he told Stephen also, that Stephen, what all cases you would have seen in 1 year, they have compressed it and you have had the benefit of being seen in on 1 day. And each day it was like, you know, he's being first given a brief about the system, about which he is also well aware, and then showing the cases, discussing them, making him an examine, and again having a brainstorming session on the differential diagnosis, what we call, why this and not that. That is called differential diagnosis. Then treatment modalities, and when it came to treatment modalities, even including a surgeon in the team, so that the surgical management, what it is, all that. So Stephen has had the benefit on the clinical front that way. And on the diagnostic front, as I told you, yesterday, for example, he was with our pathologist, and he was having a very good idea, being exposed to a fine needle aspiration cytology techniques. And one patient where the pathologist felt it is not sort of a wrong thing to ask Stephen to himself do, Stephen himself did the fine needle aspiration procedure. Today, in fact, he is with the pathologist again for some time, you know, seeing some slides which we, you know, sort of pooled, special slides in clinical pathology and histopathology. So all this meant that we had lined up a number of doctors, lined up a number of patients in each of the areas. It was a very well-conceived, a conscious exercise, and I'm so glad to tell you with Baba's grace that it went on in the way we visualized. And being the first time we are doing it as a sort of a pilot project, even for us the experience is new. But, you know, we all know of time-tested methods by which we need to do these things, and always the element of sincerity and devotion, once it is there, at the end of the day, you are normally crowned with success. That is what...
So that was Dr. Narasimhan explaining how he went about preparing a detailed and intense curriculum for Stephen so that this young doctor gets to learn about the curative, preventive, as well as the third most important aspect, the public health side of healthcare delivery. And this planning did pay off. Stephen saw how, because of a combination of lack of education and paucity of resources, and also sometimes due to social stigma attached to some diseases, so many poor folk came to the doctors with quite advanced conditions of their serious ailments. And thanks to the team of eminent doctors, the mobile hospital team is able to diagnose these complex chronic ailments. And over the years, because of their concerted efforts in health education, the prevalence and severity of these health complications have reduced in these villages. And Stephen had a first-hand exposure of this as he spent hours and hours with the mobile hospital doctors. We asked him later what he felt about the academic program laid out for him by Dr. Narasimhan for the 12 days.
And coming to your academic training, I understand Dr. Narasimhan has laid out a very elaborate training program. Each day you have something in store for you. So how was that experience being interacting with different doctors of various specialties here?
For me, very heartfelt to see when I got the training program, to see how much effort and dedication Dr. Narasimhan had put into arranging a dedicated training program, with each day dedicated to a different area that is set up here, whether it be dermatology, respiratory medicine, pathology, radiology, diabetes, thyroid. There are lots of different specialties here, and to see the program that Dr. Narasimhan has put together was very humbling. He drafted in some very senior and eminent professors and doctors to come and teach me specialists in those areas to make sure that I was exposed not only to patients which they drafted on each day relevant to the particular clinical specialty that I was involved in, but also to teach me the academic from diagnosis to the management and how they're able to do manage quite complex cases in a very resource limited way. So there was the full spectrum of seeing how this hospital really functions from the ground up, and in weaving throughout the clinical syllabus was really a eye-opening public health experience of seeing how such a system, the model of the mobile hospital really is implemented and what management kind of things are needed to be implementing such a complicated process, and really how this is going to not only the foundations of the mobile hospital, how to get it off the ground, how to see that everything works, that we've got all the departments set up and the day-to-day logistics, but how also the public health aspects from the morning group public health and discussions to the evening community-based public health discussions really has had a good impact, I think, on my educational.
So it's not only your clinical skills that are being trained, but you had exposure to different other areas of healthcare,
such as health management and the management of healthcare and the logistics involved in running a hospital, and also the public health aspect of not just looking after an individual patient, but also the community and trying to focus on preventative health medicine, which a statistic that they, from their data here, they said about 70% of the conditions that most of the people come to the mobile hospital in are preventable conditions. So there's a big campaign in preventative healthcare measure that is started in both giving group discussions in the morning and in the community, going to people's homes and going to local villages, satellite villages of these nodal points to deliver good preventative healthcare talks.
Just as Dr. Narasimhan had envisaged, Stephen did get a real feel of the public health component, a large part of which has to do with preventive healthcare and ensuring the good health of not one individual, but of the entire community. This is besides sharpening his clinical skills and providing him other education like healthcare management, the logistics of setting up and running a hospital and so on. In fact, for Dr. Narasimhan, this association with Cambridge was in a manner of sorts a dream come true in quite an unexpected manner, because Dr. Narasimhan is someone who has been passionate about proffering medical aid to especially the poor, the innocent and the forlorn. After graduating with a gold medal from Osmania University in Hyderabad, he completed his postgraduate studies specializing in general medicine in 1988 and served for nearly 20 years in Central Health Services, finally becoming the chief medical officer of this institution in 2001. And this gave him a good overview of issues related to the problem of healthcare in rural India. And during this time, drawn by Baba's message and his medical philosophy, Dr. Narasimhan traveled the length and breadth of Andhra Pradesh, covering 60,000 kilometers, conducting Sai medical camps in over 300 villages. So this is how experienced, inspired and committed he was when Baba asked him to take over as the director of the Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital Project in 2006. And he always yearns to motivate and train young physicians to participate in these outreach programs, because this is what is most needed for Indian villages. Baba always says the culture of India lives in its villages. In one sense, India is what its villages are, because 70 out of every 100 Indians live in the rural areas. So we asked Dr. Narasimhan, now that a small initiative has been undertaken to take the message of the mobile hospital to a prestigious learning institution like Cambridge, how does he see the road ahead?
Stephen also is so happy about the learning experience, and in fact yesterday when he was speaking to us in the studio, he was telling that it was such a moving experience for him. Now, how would you like to see this in the future? How you would want this association with Cambridge or this academic component of Mobile Hospital to grow in the future?
That's a good question you have asked. Because for me, even before this Cambridge academic collaboration came about, I was always wanting our own Indian Medical College students to come to this project of Bhagwan, for the simple reason that this is a very well conceived, organized, executed, regular rural outreach service. And medical college students in India also have what's called rural postings. So normally, even as a medical student myself, when we had the rural postings, it was just a superficial exercise, going to a primary health center or some health centers where they don't have any sort of an infrastructure for training. And this is why most of the time students really don't like to have any rural health posting. So I was always wanting that our own medical students should come, and at informal levels I had also made some attempts, especially from the local Anandpur Medical College, whether the students can come. Now and then in spurts students used to come, but it was never a structured or a sort of an organized exercise. So now I really wish that this program, many a time you know very well that, you know, if some institute or some activity gets recognition from an overseas institute, you know, we Indians open our eyes and, you know, now we become conscious and we know the value of our own, you know, sort of things which we have in our country. I fondly hope that this would be the starting point for, you know, students from our institutions also to come. And really I would wish that this rural training institute becomes a model for the country. And as you know, Baba's, any project is not always in numbers. Like, we always try to set up models for community or the government agencies to see and, you know, replicate such things. So our idea is to further consolidate this and make it a most model rural institute, for the simple reason that rural healthcare in India, even now, the delivery systems are very poor. The government itself acknowledges. In fact, when we had Dr. Chidambaram, our country's scientific advisor, he was telling us the Prime Minister of our country himself is totally sort of disappointed with the current rural healthcare delivery systems. So always the cited reason is doctors are not showing interest in rural healthcare. The simple reason is during their medical curriculum, they are not oriented to this sort of a training. So I really wish that, you know, we make it a model institute for the country, and Indian students from the medical colleges also start coming. Not that we don't want any more students from overseas to come, but in India, as you know, rural healthcare is crucial for the country's healthcare systems too, because the country, 70% of our population is in villages, and our healthcare delivery system, anybody you can ask, any doctor or any healthcare planner, is not at all good. So the model which we have brought out, both in terms of the academic training and in terms of the service which we are delivering, they should be strong enough to motivate, I hope, doctors in showing interest in rural healthcare. It's not that I am a doctor, I am trying to take sides, but I would tell you, it's not that doctors are disinterested in going to rural areas. There are so many reasons, and one strong reason is the lack of infrastructure, the lack of academic temper, the lack of on-site diagnostic, all these. So in terms of the service which we are delivering and in terms of the training which we impart, both of them, I think, will be strong enough to motivate doctors to take up rural health.
This is a classic example of that. You have 500 doctors coming, and they are always eager to come. And today, as we were talking, the doctor from Vijayawada, he said that he's actually cancelled his ticket and he stayed on. And he and his wife take turns to come. So I think there are plenty of examples like this.
In our own case, you know, the example, like in Puttaparthi, many times, you know, some of our other friends used to tell, because Sai Baba is there, they are coming. I always used to feel, yes, that's one strong reason. But if you can create an atmosphere wherein a doctor feels happy to work for at least a few days. After all, every doctor takes a holiday. So they feel that when they do that, if they can also come and do some service, and if that service is satisfactory at the end of the day, the doctor should feel, yes, I have concretely helped at least 2-3 patients, then it becomes a strong factor for him which motivates him to come again and again. So we have ensured that that atmosphere is available, and that is how these doctors, and some of them really were not the so-called, you call them devotees, or, you know, they 50% like for our doctors are not the traditionally used word devotees category, no. They, like for example, Dr. Gauri's name, whom I mentioned, dermatologist, she just came hearing that some good service going on, and after that she has been coming again and again.
I think every doctor actually wants to serve, and if there is an environment like this. This is so much in line with what was the vision of the medical mission of Bhagwan.
Yes.
Trying to reach out to those people whom nobody really touches.
Yeah.
Not just reaching out, but Swami was always emphatic and particular that when you reach out, you should have quality care.
Yes.
Otherwise, you know, your exercise of going out becomes a waste and it will not attract doctors to come. You should ensure the system is strong enough to deliver the right quality care on the one hand and to attract doctors to come to that system and join hands with you. That we were consciously trying to make from the beginning, thanks to his guidance and grace.
Wonderful. When this whole thing started, probably in 2006, did you ever imagine that one day it will acquire this dimension and even become an academic institute?
I was conscious of the fact that it would definitely be a model integrated Medicare project, like curative and preventive going together. But as you said, the third dimension, if we can use, the academic component getting inbuilt into it, we never thought it would happen. Yes.
Everything unfolds in his way. Yeah, wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for talking.
So that was Dr. Narasimhan, the program director of Sri Satya Sai Mobile Hospital. He too, as he said, had never imagined that the mobile hospital service that started about 6 years ago would one day reach a stage where an acclaimed medical institute from United Kingdom would send one of its distinguished students to receive academic training in rural India. And if this has become possible, it is because of two reasons: the relentless passion to help the poor and the unstinting devotion to serve the Lord. In fact, so many people worked behind the scenes for many months to help materialize this collaboration. Of course, there was the unseen hand of God all the way through. And among those who tirelessly worked for this, apart from Dr. Narasimhan in India, is the dedicated couple, Dr. Daksha Trivedi and Pradeep Trivedi from the United Kingdom. Dr. Daksha is an eminent epidemiologist in the University of Cambridge, a very senior academic and intellectual mind with a very soft side to her personality, wherein she engaged in many social service initiatives inspired by the teachings of Bhagwan Baba. And it was she, along with her husband Pradeep, who were the conduit and effective enablers of this first of its kind bridge between Cambridge and Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. We spoke to her towards the end of Stephen's training to know more about the inside story of this unique association with Cambridge.
Okay, well, firstly, thank you very much for inviting us to speak on this subject. This initiative started some 2 years, 18 months ago, and we have been actually involved in supporting the education of 22 girls to become nurses at the Vaidehi Institute. This project was blessed by Bhagwan Baba and was a joint initiative by our friends from the USA, the Nayaks, who had started this initiative. And when we came back to Cambridge during this time, we often have formal halls where all the senior associates and program managers and the Hughes Hall staff meet. During one of these meetings, we were asked by some of the medical professionals, what is it exactly that we do when we go to India? And as it happened, at that time, we were right in the middle of the support for educating the girls at Vaidehi, so we talked about the service that we are involved in and the healthcare work and how these girls were receiving education at an institute and so on. And following that, interestingly, the president of Hughes Hall, Sarah Squire, approached us and said, would there be any opportunities for some of our medical students to have medical elective experience around any suitable hospitals there in South India? And from that evolved the notion of a mobile hospital, and we discussed some of the medical facilities of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, and in particular the mobile hospital. The reason being is that the discussion focused more on exposing some of the final year students to rural health areas, where the students would get exposure to a broad spectrum, a wide spectrum of disease conditions, and also where we could, they could be exposed to a humane model of medical care, And so this actually came about through our existing and ongoing work in with the girls at Vaidehi. And following that, we were requested by Dr. Paul Siklos, he's the Associate Dean of the School of Clinical Medicine at Addenbrookes Hospital, to share with him and the Development Director some of the models of care that we have been talking about and have been experiencing. So that's how it came about. At a visit to Prashanthi Nilayam in 2010, we were given the opportunity by Mr. Lakshmi Narayan to go and visit the mobile hospital and experience how it worked. And although we were aware of the Sathisai Mobile Hospital, that was a great insight we had, in the sense that it was an integrated model of care with all on-site facilities, and churning out about 600 to 700 patients per day with at least 25 to 30 referrals. And so I knew straight away that here was something that might fit the bill that the people at University of Cambridge were asking. In 2010, I made a presentation of the mobile hospital to the University of Cambridge. Present there were Dr. Paul Siklos, who is the Associate Dean, and the Development Director of Hughes Hall, Mr. Jonathan Taylor. And it was an informal presentation of the mobile hospital, because at that time their interest and enthusiasm was in rural health. Dr. Narsimhan very kindly provided me with a PowerPoint presentation and so on. Having presented this to the people there, they were absolutely fascinated with the diagnostic, the therapeutic, and the preventive model of care. And the fact that it was more than just a mobile van, it was a hospital with on-site facilities, that they then formally asked me whether we could indeed explore the opportunity for some of the advanced students to have their medical elective training program at the mobile hospital. And from there started the whole process of gaining approvals, negotiating with both institutes. The challenging thing was that the medical electives are about 5 weeks, and the mobile hospital ran for 12 days. So combined with that, we had to come up with a model or a facility that would equip the medical students both at the static hospitals for secondary care and tertiary care, and also give some time at the mobile hospital. So really a balance of rural and urban facilities. And Dr. Paul Siklos, upon the request of Sathisai Central Trust, wrote a letter requesting formally whether the advanced students could come here for their medical electives. We discussed learning objectives, learning outcomes, feasibility, gaining approvals, how it would work, and collectively came up with the idea that we would pilot an initiative on those students who would take up this option. Following that, I was invited to present to the medical students at Hughes Hall and discuss what was available, in what capacity. And going on from that, Stephen Notley came forward to take up the challenge of gaining experience in the mobile hospital and to fit in with the other facilities to make up for the 5 weeks. So it was, and it was a good 18 months development.
So that is how this association with Cambridge came about. But actually there is more to it, because Pradeep indeed had an opportunity to present this proposal directly to Baba in Puttaparthi sometime in 2011. We asked him to share that story.
Stephen asked Dr. Narasimhan, where do you get your energy from? And now I want to ask, where do you get your motivation from? Because Pradeep, I know you've been there out of UK for almost 6-7 weeks now, so it definitely means a lot of sacrifice of time, energy, effort and everything. So where do you get your inspiration from?
I believe that in this particular question requires a proper response, that Bhagwan Baba had the grace and favor upon me to speak to me directly on this project. And Daksha had written out the project with the proposals, in our hands, and somehow I ended up carrying it into the darshan, and Swami called for this project to be read. And as approaching on the veranda, Swami requested the folder to be opened, and there was a young man, tall young man, he was opening the pages, and Swami personally requested for me to read every page and every word in that document to him, and identifying each of the persons involved who are going to be responsible for taking this project forward. Then Swami so indicated and asked a question, why do you want to do this? And the answer was, Swami, the world needs to see the good work being done by your divine institutions. Because my first request to Swami was that, dear Bhagwan, the dean of the medical college at Cambridge University requires your divine permission to bring their students to your institutions. Can we please have your permission? And Swami responded by saying, why? So that the world can see the good work being done by selfless service, by professionals, highly academic people, leading people in their own fields, but able to offer this without payment, reward, or any other gratitude, except the smile on their patients' faces. And Swami then asked a question, are you sure? I said, yes, Swami. Then he said, okay, if you can convince me, you can convince anyone. Take Padma Namaskar and do the work. And he handed the project to Mr. Chakravarti. And from that, everything began to move forward. His direct, Swami's direct intervention into this project, that led, because I believe that this institution has got the capacity, the ability, and the know-how to make it a leading class institute in the world. And for Cambridge, there is a certain way of thinking. Their professors are very, very bright and very clever. If they want something, they will get it. One way or another, they will get it. They saw something in these medical institutions, the mobile hospital. They saw a potential for their students to become better doctors, better aware of their relationship with ethnic minorities and other races. So in other words, they will learn something. And they will become transformed. Even Paul Sigler, they will become transformed, which they don't even know.
So that was how this project had divine permission and blessings, as well as such an encouraging response from the School of Clinical Medicine in Cambridge. And as Dr. Daksha said, it took almost 18 months of preparation and coordination to make it happen. Even as Stephen was preparing to return to the United Kingdom after his 5 weeks of training, we sat down to talk with this committed couple to learn about what happened in those 1.5 years of preparation, and also, now that it has had such a successful outcome, how do they see this collaboration with Cambridge going forward?
How was the academic part of the training that he was receiving in the mobile hospital?
Well, the academic part of the training was structured in such a way that Dr. Narasimha had 6 months pre-planning his whole program. Perhaps it would be perhaps relevant at this stage for me to say that the 6 months planning involved Dr. Narasimha communicating with Dr. Jessica White at Cambridge University, who is the clinical director of studies. And right from the outset, he communicated to ask what the expectations were, both from Cambridge, both for Stephen's learning. I also perhaps should say here that one of the processes involved in the academic training was following my presentation, I devised an information sheet which had an application form. So Stephen actually completed these and submitted to us, and in there he identified his interests, his area of focus. And Dr. Narasimha took that opportunity to almost tailor-make something that would fit his requirements, his expectations, what his expectations were from the electives and his interest areas. So at Whitefield, he had cardiology and neurology, and it was a program which evolved as Stephen went day to day. The mobile hospital was structured in such a way that he had different specialties allocated on different days. For example, dermatology for the first 3 days, then ophthalmology, Department of Medicine. But the academic part was such that Dr. Narasimha shared his academic training program with Cambridge University, and in such a way had identified tutorials, case studies, case discussions, which actually form the academic support. So on balance, the program had obviously the service component, the practical aspects of how you deal with patients. In addition to that, he had the theoretical case notes discussions as they emerged, and most of the doctors delegated to him had a teaching experience and had planned out a teaching program that would enhance his diagnostic, clinical and academic skills as well. So again, an academic training program with the balance of service. And what actually overall has emerged is that he was very taken by the way the doctors communicated with the patients, in the sense that his first exposure in everything was a patient coming in, doctor speaking in Telugu with the patients, and then the doctors translating it to Stephen. And he could see straight away that the doctors are communicating with the patients in such a way that it is allowing the patients to open up to the doctor and describe the symptoms. So very highly academic training program that would suit the needs of an advanced student from, you know, any university, especially Cambridge.
Wonderful. Now, coming back to you, Pradeep, academically, yes, he had a very good training. But you were telling me how, as a person, also, there were a lot of transformation that was happening in his mindset from the time he was in the super specialty hospital to when he came to the general hospital, and now in the mobile hospital, I think he saw a completely different picture. It was a very graded system of change of mindset, I would say, that was happening. So how was his mindset now?
No, I'm glad you asked me that, because we had a long discussion yesterday and the day before with Stephen, with some friends of ours who are in Prashanthi, and he actually explained very clearly that in the initial outset when he came, he had a culture shock. He had difficulty relating to the people in front of him. And then as he went through the whole process, when he came to the mobile hospital, he actually had an emotional transformation. Somewhere along the line, I felt that. And then he revealed to us that he had a very emotional being inside. And he said that he cannot understand how a basic human being could be denied the basic health care, education. Because as Dr. Narasimhan pointed out, that 70% of all diseases in India are preventable. The forces that are working against the prevention is lack of education, lack of sanitation, lack of just basic healthcare knowledge, and the inability to cope with simple symptoms that develops into a bigger symptom. And he was shocked and completely in basically an emotional turmoil. He's still going away with this turmoil in his mind, that something that can be preventable, which he doesn't see as a barrier, is preventable, is actually necessary. And he saw the complex way Dr. Narasimhan ran his operation. It's like he felt he's in Minerva Bangalore train station, because there are different compartments well laid out. So all passengers are moving between different compartments, and they're all being regulated in a proper manner. So having experienced the real Bangalore station and the real Bangalore bus station, which is chaotic, he found order in this chaos in his mind. The people are not chaotic. They're being regulated by the selfless volunteers. The volunteer processed him in a very logical manner. And it's like a triad system where the patient gets seen by person A, B, C, and D, and the speciality. But instead of waiting 5-6 hours in UK from going from entering the hospital, he saw somebody being seen within 20 minutes from entering the compound of the school. The person is processed, records are made, and then directly right department to the diagnostic clinic, and comes back with a result and a prescription medicine are given in that short space of time. The numbers astounded him, the sheer volume of numbers. So his mind was continuously racing to keep up. And he understood the power of the Indian doctors, voluntary doctors who are working there, that the speed at which they can diagnose. And Paul Siklos did mention to me that I want these students to get their hands dirty. I don't want to see pictures of doctors with pristine safari suits and white jackets, with stethoscopes pointing to a lovely looking young child who is a poster campaign. he wants to see how Steve's reaction, and he wants to see the diagnostic skills. He has learned the speed of diagnosis, he's learned the accuracy of diagnosis, and actually being tested ongoing basis what assessment was being done. Oh, the doctor, he didn't know. And at the end, when he was talking to Dr. Narasimhan, and these doctors, I educate them, said, listen, because he's from Cambridge, don't spoon feed him. He'll feel insulted if you spoon feed him. Test him. He wants to be tested. And that became a landmark after his three professional assessment. This is the only time the Cambridge University has accepted the assessment being done by an external body. So it has become this Satisai Institute, Mobile Hospital doctors have become a testers. So these students have never been tested in the way they have been tested. So it's become a landmark testing ability of our institute to pass out Cambridge students. That is a tremendous landmark, and we should remember that day, because Paul Sicklus had already come back saying, I'm very happy that our student is being tested, because we are now really going to formulate our method of assessment of our students. So we have now become, from being a little bit in awe with Cambridge, now we're nearly coming up to their par of their expectations. We met their criteria. So we're going to have a meeting, and Daksha will explain. When is the meeting?
We're meeting with the Cambridge people on the 23rd of July for recapping, for debriefing, and really for looking at the potential ways of working in the future, what this pilot initiative has taught us, what we can do better, how we can work with a long-term collaboration in mind. One thing I also have to say is that the benefit of Dr. Narasimhan and Dr. Sola communicating with Jessica White on an ongoing basis 6 months prior to this has resulted in the training program that he delivered, because simple things like his day would start with a briefing session, his day would end with a debriefing session as to how did he find it, what were the new cases, what would he like to do, what would he like to see, how does it work in the UK? You know, taking the whole concept with where Steve is coming from. So I think the important part why this elective academically and the training of the medical care has been very successful, because, and I think I put it down to the fact that all the planning and the ongoing communication, everyone at Cambridge and everyone at the Satisai Institute, the Mobile Hospital, do believe that that collaboration that started months ago has contributed to the outcome that we have today.
Wonderful. So what, may I ask you, what would be the best thing to happen in your view of this entire initiative?
I think right from the outset, we have taken a stepped approach to this initiative. So the first thing, if I can just perhaps answer it in a stepped approach way, the first thing is to look at the learning, the outcomes from this pilot initiative, you know, in terms of a student's perspective, in terms of students' learning objectives, what has been met, what hasn't. And then the expansion from that everybody is talking about, is a potential opportunity for a long-term collaborative process between Cambridge University and Satisai Institute. And it could be in the form of, how do we develop a future elective program? We've done the 12 days in Mobile. Dr. Narasimhan had done one set of training. If we were to have more students, they might have different learning objectives and interest areas. How could that be developed further? How could Cambridge University prepare their students better, maybe, or in a different way, to meet the challenges? And is there a way that we could share learnings by, you know, exchanging, maybe through seminars, or exchanging development program, both academically and in a service way, as we move forward with more challenges, with more sort of electives? So we're looking at a long-term collaboration. Already, for example, we have had a dialogue only 2 days ago by email with Jessica White and Paul Sicklus, that what has emerged from this elective is the intensity of what Stephen has picked up now of medical interest and academic interest has been the new cases. How are we going to discuss these? Cambridge University wide students understand what has gone on here, how much they would benefit. So how would we disseminate that? Would we all jointly write some document, a protocol, a development? And what has really emerged and I see for the future and on an ongoing basis is to develop some kind of protocol for having structural programs that meet the needs of the students. This has not happened before in the sense that usually students find their own electives, and I think it's like taking a chance with what they will have and what they haven't. This actually gives the structured approach to training and learning to enhance, and because the professors and the doctors like Jessica White, Paul Siklos, Dr. Narsimha, Dr. Sola are involved on an ongoing basis, there is a huge opportunity for collaboration.
So a long-term academic relationship between the University of Cambridge and the medical division of Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust is what Dr. Narsimhan and the Trivedis hope for. And this seems to be shaping up, going by the letter that Jessica White, the clinical director of studies at the University of Cambridge, has written to Dr. Narsimhan after Stephen returned to Cambridge. Fortunately, we have a copy of that letter. Listen to this as it is read out by a Radio Sai volunteer.
Dear Dr. Narsimhan, I'm writing to you with enormous gratitude and a sense of awe at the depth and breadth of training that you have provided for Stephen, who is the first of our Cambridge students to come your way. I can see by reading the detailed accounts of the teaching that he has received that he has had more than an eye-opening to the many wonders of clinical medicine, and even more importantly, that this introduction has been undertaken under the supervision of some of the finest clinicians and teachers on any international stage. I am truly thankful to you and your dedicated team. I met with Stephen on Friday evening, just a few hours after his return. He was tired, but happy and eager to share all his experiences and newfound knowledge. We are all very much looking forward to his formal account and presentation, and I think it will be essential to invite the whole of the course, both students and faculty, to hear him speak. I am particularly impressed at the structured way in which you have been able to deliver this teaching, with careful planning of subject matter and clinical exposure, while at the same time operating such a busy mobile hospital. I'm sure there are lessons from this that we can take for our own teaching here in the UK, and I will inquire further of Stephen regarding his daily timetable and the way in which so much was achieved. I know that Stephen would have valued 2 cycles on the mobile hospital, but the time constraints of his intensive course did not allow it. It was very reassuring to know how well Stephen was being looked after, not just academically, but also pastorally, and I am very indebted to you, Daksha, and Phil Trivedi for all you have done in this regard, above and beyond duty, to make him so comfortable and welcome amongst you. It will be a great pleasure to meet with Daksha and Phil tomorrow, and I look forward to planning future years with your kind agreement. With all best wishes and warm regards, yours sincerely, Jessica White.
So that is the reassuring message from the University of Cambridge. And the good news is that in 2013, 8 students from the Cambridge sought to come to the mobile hospital for training. But 4 were selected because of logistic and other reasons. So these 4 will be here in Puttaparthi in the month of June of the coming year. And this, dear listeners, is yet another baby step towards that lofty goal wherein the heart of every doctor in this world longs to alleviate the sufferings of their brethren, especially those who are disadvantaged. Wherein every person born on this earth has access to quality healthcare in a manner that is most convenient and least distressing. A world where healthcare is devoid of commerce and other painful constraints and restrictions, where healthcare is steeped in compassion, in empathy, and in universality. I started this program with the piano of Stephen that was recorded in the Radio Sai studio just 2 days before he left Prashantinilayam. And during that lovely musical session that we had with him in our studios, I asked him, "Stephen, if you were to express your feeling of being in the mobile hospital in the form of music, how would that be?" And instantly, Stephen came up with a beautiful piece. Listen to this. So that is the moving experience of the mobile hospital in music by Stephen Notley. Isn't this beautiful? The joy of service is something incomparable with anything else in this world. Those who have tasted it know it. And how wonderful it would be if our lives too become a perennial melody of moving service, just as Baba's life is. Dear listeners, I want to leave you with this thought of love, service, and reaching out. And with this, as the clock in the studio show that it's almost 10, it's time to wind up this yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Please do share your comments and feedback on this program. It really helps to know what you feel about our offerings. As always, you can write to listener at radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org. And it is time to draw the curtains now on this live Thursday broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much for being with us, and as I sign off, you will now continue to listen to a drama presented by devotees from Canada on July 19th, 2007 in front of Bhagwan. And interestingly, this presentation is entitled The Sacred Bridge. So do explore what this bridge is all about. So happy listening, and finally, a sweet goodbye and loving salam from Prashantinilayam.